from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. And I am joined today in the JPR studios by Damian Kulash from OK Go. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I am wonderful. I should say I just stepped over into the theater to see setup, which is a little bit of explanation for why it is just the O of OK Go here in our studios. It looks like a carnival.
It's not really a rock show that we're taking on tour right now. This is we figured we've been that video band for so long that
yes,
we should take our videos on tour as opposed to our songs. So it's really like a film screening that we're playing along live to. But since several of the videos we recorded the sound live, like the one where I'm stunt driving the car with the robotic arms, we had to remake all the instruments from that video so that we can play those live. We're doing some handbell things, and we're doing one of the dances from the video. The idea was to try to get the rock experience as far away from the sort of stereotypical sort of rock and roll 60s vibe that we've all been doing for so long, and try to get it more like the kind of full experience of, you know, we make a lot of stuff. So we're trying to bring it all on tour with us.
Well, now, as you're talking, can you visualize all those light bulbs going off over people's heads when you say things like driving the car and people going, oh yeah, I've seen that video, or oh yeah, the anti-gravity one, I've seen that one.
I'm fully aware of the fact that people know us by, like, they're like, oh, you're those treadmill guys.
Right.
I mean, there was years when we were, it really was just like, you know, I could meet anyone anywhere and what do you do? I'm a musician. What's the name of your band? Okay, go blank, blank, blank. We made that treadmill video. Oh, you're the treadmill guys.
Well, there was almost 10 years before that video that you guys were the band OK Go, and you'd made a couple of sort of lower budget choreographed things. But what was that early decade like of OK Go, just the band?
Tim and I, the bassist and I, have known each other for over 30 years now. We met when we were 11 years old at summer camp, an arts camp. And we've always just been friends who like making stuff together. And right after college, basically, we started this band. And in the first few years, we got signed to a major label. We had kind of a big radio song. It was called Get Over It. And so like a very particular era of like alternative rock listener knows us as that radio band. But and I was working for NPR in Chicago, and one of our first big breaks was to be the house band for the big fifth anniversary of This American Life. And it seemed like This American Life had been around forever at 5 years, you know, and we were obviously huge fans of the show. So we were like a radio band, and then we were kind of an NPR band. And then this video of us dancing in my backyard, which was, it's a long story, but it was a practice tape for something we wanted to do live, that went viral the year that YouTube started. And we figured if we could have an accidental music, like if we could make a successful music video accidentally, then we should maybe try to make one on purpose. And that kind of started this whole thing for us.
And there was kind of an invisible member of OK Go that was instrumental in the creation of that, Trish.
Oh, my sister. Yeah, my sister Trish. She was she helped choreograph that dance. She actually wasn't around when we made the video, because we didn't know we were making a video. You know, we wanted to record us in the backyard doing it to send to a video director who we wanted to work with. Actually, I don't think he ever saw it, but a guy named Michel Gondry, who's a huge inspiration, and we heard he had this great idea for a dance video, and we were like, we're the dance band, why is he gonna do this with Kanye, what's his name, like this some rapper who was just coming up at the time. So yeah, that went viral, and we recorded, the next video was the treadmill one, that was 2006 or 7, and we actually recorded that at my sister's house in Florida. She was a professional ballroom dancer at the time, but the success of those videos, she's gone on to be a film director. So,
Damian Kulash of OK Go is my guest today live in the JPR studios. The band's web address, okgo.net. Their latest release is Hungry Ghosts. Damian, you have an acoustic guitar in your hands. That must mean we are going to hear the original kernel of one of those OK Go songs that we know. What are you playing for us?
I will play the song Last Leaf, which actually the recorded version is much like this, just me and a guitar. If you should be The last autumn leaf hanging from the tree. I'll still be here waiting on the breeze to bring you down to me. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be. And if you should be the last seed in spring to venture out, leave, I'll still be here waiting on the rain to warm your heart for me. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be. And if it takes forever, forever it'll be.
That is Damian Kulash of OK Go performing live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Well, things have advanced considerably since A Million Ways. You have done Anti-Gravity. You have done an incredible Rube Goldberg thing. To what degree are the four of you core band members involved in the brainstorming of ideas, the execution of those ideas in some of your video concepts?
It's pretty much, it all starts with us. I have directed the last 20 videos, some of them with other people. My sister has co-directed 4 or 5 of them with us, and there's some other people who've been involved with some, and I've directed a couple by myself. And the ideas, it's the ideas generally sort of start with the band, but in a very broad way. Like, the Zero Gravity video, for instance, I had heard about those parabolic flights, which is basically, the airplane is essentially just accelerating up into the sky, sort of letting you go and then following your arc as you fly back down, catches you. And you get this simulated zero gravity, which is, it's a totally crazy experience, very nausea inducing.
You did a lot of Dramamine, right?
We were on something even heavier than Dramamine, but yeah, like I've known about that for, 10, 12 years. Like the first time I heard about that, I was just like, we have to make a video. Like we have to do that. But getting access to that plane is the tough part. And honestly, you can't really plan a lot more than that. You have to go and just start playing with it. So, for that video, for instance, when we had to budget it, it was just like, how are you going to do this? And we were like, give us 20 flights. And then we just split them in thirds. We were like, 6 of them will be just playing, just see what happens. 6 of them will be like, after having reviewed all that play, trying to do something over and over again and see if it's really repeatable. And then the last 8 we'll film. And then you just sort of work within those constraints. And the idea really kind of develops, it starts with that nugget. And then from there, it's kind of just like whatever you can figure out.
I know the timeline for a lot of bands, and this differs widely, of course, but it's usually 18 months to 2 years. There's a new record ready to go, right? I mean, it's just kind of the songwriting and the recording and the production. What is the timeline for you guys to create one of these videos to go along with the music?
The videos have taken anywhere from a week or two to 6 months. There's a few of them. I mean, the Rube Goldberg machine we made in 2010, I think it was. That the process for that one was Andy, our guitarist, sent me a little clip of somebody who had made a Rube Goldberg machine in their office. And we were like, there's something so, so exciting about this. And that day, I posted a job posting on like this nerd site in Los Angeles that was like, hey, dear nerds, we need a couple of engineers who will work with us for maybe a month. And 6 months later, we had the video in the can. I mean, it was a big, long process. A lot of people involved, and of course, that original posting was completely inaccurate. But if we'd had like a big film budget, you could probably do that in 6 weeks. But it took us a lot longer because we didn't have any money. But,
and it's a lot of cleanup and resetting.
That whole machine, you could reset the whole thing in about 2 hours. But we actually designed it so that the most delicate parts are at the beginning, so that you almost never, like, you can't get right to the end and have it fail. It's basically like the dominoes at the top of it fail all the time. But by the time you're down on the bottom floor of the two-story warehouse we were filming in, like, you know, the car that rolls off of the edge of a little ramp, like, it's not going to miss. Like, when you let go of a car, it goes the same direction every time, you know?
Damian Kulash is my guest from OK Go here in the JPR Reading studios. OK Go's latest release, which was for 2014, was Hungry Ghosts.
Long ago already? Yeah, 2014, Hungry Ghosts.
Which is now a couple 2 years ago.
Yeah,
which leads me into the next question. Is there new music on the way from
there? There is new music on the way. We get slowed down by these videos is sort of the problem. We take too long making our videos. But it's really fun. It's really fun. So our albums come out less frequently than we would like, and we tour a lot. And actually, two members of our band have had kids, so that's been a reason to slow down a little bit.
How big is the team?
The team.
The total team, the people that you bring together in order to execute these things.
Oh, for the videos, it really depends on the video itself. I mean, we. You know, the treadmill video was the four members of the band and my sister at her house.
Oh, no kidding.
The most recent one it's all in slow motion. The whole thing is filmed in 4.5 seconds. And then when we spread that out over the course of 4 minutes, everything matches up with the song. That one I directed in L.A. in a big warehouse there. And I would say the crew was probably 200 people, 120 people, maybe.
I feel like I have an hour's worth of questions just on how that one was made.
That one was a lot of math, basically. It's very simple math, but many layers deep. Like, I got really good at spreadsheets. Yeah, because, I mean, basically what happened, like, here's what most of the process of that was. Wouldn't it be cool to see a watermelon explode? And can we get 8 watermelons to explode on the beat in this amount of time? And then you figure out, okay, well, if that's going to be these beats, you've got this many frames you have to hit. Wait, if the projectile that's flying through that watermelon can go this speed, and the camera can go that speed, and the robot holding the camera can go this speed and rotate at that speed, like, how many frames does it take? And, you know, and I wound up rediscovering the word arctan and having to go back to my, like, junior high and high school math. But the actual math isn't that hard. It's just remembering it all. Mm.
You know? With all of the success that you guys have had visually, is it ever a struggle to make sure that you're not losing the musical side that's how you started as OK Go?
I could say either yes or no to that, and it would be an honest answer. Because from the perspective of people who make stuff, this stuff comes out of much the same process. You know, it's like... here's what I think is amazing about music. You take two sounds and put them together, and 99% of the time you just get this third sound, you know? But that last little sliver of a percent that's left, you get that completely alchemical thing where, like, you have to jump on your, like, you feel, it's like a combination of lust and fury and you know, nostalgia and joy. It's some amazing hyper-dimensional thing that you never could have put into words, right? And it's this amazing, all I can say is alchemy. It feels like it comes out of nowhere. Like, what is that thing? And the process of writing songs, trying to find those moments of that are just so resonant with emotion, that's basically what the filmmaking process is for us also. You know, it requires more people and a little more planning, but it's not, it feels very similar to us. So I mean, and I guess I should also say, like, if YouTube is going to be the most, the highest trafficked music streaming service on the planet, you know your song is coming with a video anyways. It's sort of like, it's sort of strange to me that fewer musicians are also filmmakers, because it's a little bit like we just stepped into the world of stereo, but everybody's refusing to use the left channel, you know? however, having said all of that, we do also process sound very differently than we process visuals, and I mean, you know, in terms of our brains, and the visuals that we put with our songs do, of course, change the way people hear those songs. They certainly change the way people see us as a band. And there are times when I feel like a song that we've made that was sort of infinite in its emotional landscape now is like sort of the soundtrack to this one little film, you know? And there's a good side to that and a bad side. For us, it's mostly like we're just excited that tomorrow we're going to get to wake up and keep chasing the making of things, which is a pretty lucky life to have, you know.
What is the craziest idea that you've come up with that you haven't been able to figure out how to do?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's infinite. There's no, you know, there's the things that we haven't been able to crack in terms of visual stuff are mostly interesting animation techniques. Like, there's so many cool ways to make an image, but it's very hard to make them filmic. And it's very hard to make, like, what's right? It was when you're writing a song, it's not just like, okay, there's a cool sound. You know, it's like, what's now that we have this emotional thing, how do you build an arc around it so that you start in one place and the changes in that cause this emotional feeling? Oh, God, this is so abstract. Mick Jagger once wrote out a graph that I saw where a bad song is a flat line and a good song is like a little graph that goes up, you know? And that's sort of what you're always trying to do, is figure out the emotional arc in the song. That's also what we do with the videos. And I think it's uncommon for, especially beginning directors, people who are usually doing music videos and TV commercials, to think that way. They're basically usually thinking, what's a cool thing? Like, let's film the band looking cool and then edit it together. And that doesn't really go anywhere, you know? So for us, the visuals are almost always, we're trying to get the same emotional or a related emotional arc into them that we have in the songs. And there's a million visual ideas we go, that's amazing. But you can't get, like, how come we can't push it? Like, it won't go any farther. Yeah. And so there's a lot of those we've never cracked.
Well, I know you've got to go in a bit because there is quite a bit of rehearsal to go on next door. I'd love to hear you play one more tune. Before I let you go, though, there are quite a number of projects that you guys have been involved in, charity work and doing things for, like, the Chicago Fire soccer team.
Wow, you've done your homework.
Have those just kind of all come out of the worldwide awareness people have of you as a band, or how did you, like, for example, the dog video, ASPCA, mm-hmm. right?
One take video where we did a dance with 14 trained dogs.
And you did a project for Hurricane Katrina relief, right?
Yeah.
So do these things, are these things on your radar individually as individual members of the band, or do people approach you and say, hey, are you willing to help us out?
Some combination of those things. Like the Hurricane Katrina thing we did, it was a record we made with a trombone rock band, trombone sort of funk soul rock band called Bonorama.
Bonorama, yeah.
Just a collaborative record, but I met those guys while I was in New Orleans doing some policy work around net neutrality, actually. So I'm going weird places with this interview, but I grew up in Washington, D.C., in the punk rock scene there, and was very enamored of several of the local musicians and labels. And There was a woman I really looked up to named Jenny Toomey who started a record label there called Simple Machines, and I worshipped her as a high school student. And she was the one, she called me to be like, there's a fight about net neutrality. This was probably 2006 or so. And aren't you in that band that got really famous on the internet for something you did in your backyard? And I was like, oh, that's me. And she was like, well, okay, if you realize that if the net neutrality laws get changed, only people with a lot of money will be able to have the type of success you've just had. Do you want that to be the case? And I was like, no, ma'am. You know, and she was like, okay, well then you got to work with us. So we started, I testified before Congress and did all this sort of policy work around net neutrality. And that led me to meet a whole bunch of different people who were doing work I really admired. And the next thing you know, I'm in New Orleans and we're making a record with a trombone band.
It's a busy guy, busy band.
Yeah.
And maybe one that we can take credit for, the public radio community can take credit for, since where you started.
Absolutely. Right? No, my radio engineering definitely started at NPR in Chicago, and I am an active listener, and I just upped my pledge to my local station of KPCC.
I'm very proud of you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, you're very well. I actually literally don't have live TV anymore. I can't watch TV news. It's just too shouty. And I'm happy to be a big fan of NPR.
Well, we're happy that you're here. Damian Kulash is my guest from OK Go. OK Go's latest release is called Hungry Ghosts. OKGo.net is the place to go online to learn and see and hear all things OK Go. Will you play us one more tune?
Yeah. I'm going to play a song by The Zombies, one of my favorite bands. This is from early 60s, I guess?
50th anniversary
is
of
it?
Their release. Yeah, the 50th anniversary of that recording just came out.
I would have guessed early 60s. The warmth of your love's like the warmth of the sun, and this will be our year, took a long time to come. Don't let go of my hand, now the darkness is gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you, you gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we're only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come. The warmth of your smile, smile for me, little one. This will be our year, took a long time to come. Don't have to worry, all your worry days are gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you held me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you, you gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we're only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come. Now we're there, and we're only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come. This will be our year, took a long time to come.
That is Damian Kulash of OK Go, live today in the JPR Reading Studios. Information on the band at okgo.net. Damian, thanks again for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been really fun.